This is for our podcasts, which all the talks I give are up on the site Podbean. So I simply record my talk, not the shares afterwards. Last week I was talking about a little bit about how in the article Regrets of the Dying, it was mentioned that people really regret at end-of-life stages things like having worked too much, having worried too much, having allowed other people's expectations of them to bully them into choices that were not true to their heart. And at the same time, people wish that they had, rather sadly, they wish that they had allowed themselves to simply relax and enjoy life and find and experience happiness more. So I thought I'd talk about a very important concept of the Buddhist teaching, pasati, which is developing a state of ease. It's mentioned throughout the text. Interestingly enough, most people tend to, I think, believe that ease comes about when we get all of our ducks in a row. There's this idea that, oh, there's a special time and a special place that we associate with easefulness. For example, people love going to the beach on the weekend. And we think, wow, the beach is so great. I feel so wonderful at the beach. Or in a hammock with a mountain breeze, or having sex, or after having sex. Or singing or playing music with friends, or dancing. Or some friends of mine like salsa dancing. I look idiotic salsa dancing, but some people, you have to do something that I'm genetically, as a neurotic New Yorker, and incapable of doing, but people love it. So what do these things have in common? Well, they have in common that when we attain a state of ease, it's because we allow ourselves to stop worrying about the future, about what's going to happen to me, about what do other people think about me, about what's happened to me in the past, our story about ourselves and our the unresolved issues in our life and how we compare with other people. All those thoughts, as the Buddha said, self-centered thoughts, which lead to what the Buddha called papancha, we give ourselves permission not to think them. When they arise, we don't even pay attention to them. And then we also allow ourselves, when we're sitting in a beach chair by the waves, we allow ourselves to breathe deeply and to physically relax. So what I'm saying is there's really nothing about these special places and times that are magical or creating ease, or what the Buddha called pasati. It's really that there's just certain times and places where we allow ourselves to relax into the body. The rest of our lives, we are caught up tumbling into the future, caught up in working our way towards these moments where we believe we have the right to relax and let go. But for some reason, we don't believe that in our normal day-to-day lives, we have the right to stop, to let go of the striving, the attainment, and to simply become at peace with what life is right now. So I thought I'd talk about the four or five things, mental habits, that get in the way of us attaining ease all the time. Right now. Right now. Why can't we find true peace right now? There are a bunch of mental habits we fall into that keep us from allowing ourselves to relax and find ease in the present. The first I've already indicated. It's what we call papancha, which is caused in turn by sakkaya ditti, which means basically we think a lot about ourselves and what's going to happen to us, and this keeps us contained in a narrative framework where we're constantly comparing and positioning what's happening right now in terms of what's happened in the past, where we want to head in the future. We worry about how we compare to others. We worry about, we keep tumbling forward. There's a sense that this moment right now is somehow smaller or less rich, less embodied with promise than those moments that we look forward to. We believe that that moment in Montauk or wherever, on a Saturday night with, I don't know what, picture whatever you like, that that's a more special time than right now. So this constant fleeing from the present is one of the primary thwarts or hindrances to finding peace in life. We're constantly devaluating each, or devaluing? What's it, devaluing? Devaluing. Thank you. Devaluing. Yeah, we're doing something. So, so it's part of it is turning away from these daydreams, fantasies, these plans that we keep dragging along with us, and turning instead to what's happening in the body. Ease is primarily a physical state. When the body is relaxed, the mind follows. So instead of worrying about getting all the external things fixed so that we have permission to unwind, we start right here with the breath. We find the areas in the body that are taut and tense. We find the emotions that are registering in the body that are being pushed down, that we're running from, and we feel them so that we're not at war with our physical state. So many of us feel that the emotions we carry physically with us are so scary that we constantly flood back into the external realm of the world trying to fix all of our internal issues, our fears, our discomfort, our loneliness, our boredom, our confusion. We're trying to answer out there. Whether it's the perfect book or movie or companion or roommate or job, the answer is not found in those things. Now, the second tendency that is very hindering is that we make demands of people. We believe, if only this person was different, then I could be happy. If only my girlfriend, boyfriend, mother, father, sister, brother, roommate, cousin, aunt, boss, colleague, if only they were different. If only they were nicer, smarter, shorter, taller, bigger, rounder, whatever. If only they realized how good I am, how smart I am. So the problem is that when we try to change the people in our lives, They don't want to be changed, it turns out. They resist. We get into conflict. It's so much easier simply accepting that this is the way the people in our lives are. This doesn't mean we have to stay or surround ourselves with somebody who's acting unskillfully, who's without boundaries, who's causing suffering. We're allowed to establish distance. We're allowed to establish limits on what we'll talk about, what kind of conversations we'll have. But trying to change, to demand change from somebody else, causes nothing but a constant state of being at war, and doesn't allow us to attain a state of ease. Likewise, the demands we make of ourselves. We often have this idea that we are waiting to attain a state where we will then somehow, if we learn or get a degree or become a little more independent financially or whatever, if only I could attain this state in the future, then I could be happy. Well, there's nothing that the future will bring you that you don't have now that will make any difference when it comes to finding peace of mind. The future might bring you things that will make your external life a little easier. It'll probably bring you things that will make your external life different. It'll also bring things that will make your external life more challenging. Trust me, I'm older than you. Most of you. So, this idea that I need to become something, what the Buddha called bhava, is one of the chains of suffering he talked about. Because we are all born with the tools that are needed to attain peace of mind. It's the practice of cultivating compassion, kindness, appreciation, generosity. All these skills we can easily put into place at any time in our life. We don't need to attain anything. This feeling that there's something missing is an illusion that keeps us trapped from our happiness. Also, making demands backfires constantly. My friend, a therapist, was telling me how he had a patient who constantly would act out each weekend sexually and felt uncomfortable with it. Felt it was a driven and an addiction rather than it was more than weekends, but he felt that it was something that was, there was no choice involved. It was very addictive, habitually ingrained, a source of shame and dispiriting. So he tried endless ways to beat himself up out of, to shame himself out of this behavior. And when he finally came to the therapist quite wisely said, after trying a few approaches that didn't work, he said, well, this weekend, instead of trying to change, just allow yourself to be yourself, knowing that you are perfect, that you deserve love, exactly as you are, that you deserve happiness, that you don't need to become another person in any way, shape, or form to deserve to be at peace with yourself. Of course, when the guy called up on Monday, he hadn't acted out. Because it was the stress of constantly feeling he wasn't good enough, that he had to change, that was creating the discomfort that drove him to the habitual actions. And when he could open up to himself as being perfect, not needing to change, the need then to get rid of this stress disappeared. And he was free to choose. In fact, when we accept ourselves as we are, that's when we open up the possibility then of picking up new behaviors. It doesn't mean we become different people, but it means that choices open up to us and we don't have to suffer as much. So the third category is being at war with the world. The characteristic that all of these hindrances to being at ease and being peaceful have in common is that there's an element of what the Buddha called ujjati, which means resistance. We're resisting life as it is. We think we have to become better, that the people around us have to change. We think we have to constantly move towards a special future place because right now isn't good enough. In alignment with that, we also feel that noticing that there is injustice in the world, which there is plenty of, there is intolerance, there is inequality, there is unfairness, there always has been. We notice this, and we feel that the only way we can make a change, that we can address the inequalities of the world, is through anger and stress. We believe that that is the motivation, the outrage. Things should be different. There should be a stop sign on that street. There should be this kind of program to help the poor. We shouldn't be spending this amount of money, which is true, on the fence. We shouldn't be incarcerating more than all of Europe and Asia combined. We have the largest prison population. It's catastrophic. But none of these social ills, and plenty more of them, are successfully in the long term addressed through rage. What they are addressed through is compassion. For example, if we look at somebody who's been fighting injustice for well over 50 years, a guy named Thich Nhat Hanh, a Vietnamese Buddhist monk who's encountered more suffering, more inhumanity and injustice than any of us combined could imagine, he keeps his social engagement going tirelessly without being burned out from compassion, from caring, from wanting to spread peace and love and kindness. He doesn't focus on how dare these Americans carpet bomb my country. He focuses on all unskillful acts come from confusion and stress. I've heard him speak. I've never heard him once speak an utterance from anger. And yet he soldiers on year in, year out, doing social work to bring attention to all the injustices around him in the world. So we can make a change, but the change does not have to come at the cost of us relaxing into our lives as it is. We can be both happy while difficult things are going on in the world. In fact, some of the happiest people I've met have been when I've done hospice work. Because when people realize that death is going to happen, they lose all that concern about shit that doesn't matter. And the stuff they do want to address, they address from compassion, not from rage. The people I've known who've been the most successful in the long term as social advocates have all come from compassion. The last is worrying and trying to control things that are totally not under our control, which is a big one. It's amazing how much time in life people spend worrying about what other people think of us. Which is, when you get a little perspective on it, it's not inevitable. It's actually a mental habit we can change. And when you review all the wisdom that worrying about what other people think about you, you will find that it hasn't brought you any wisdom at all. In fact, it's a complete waste of fucking time. Why? A, because you don't know. You can't read other people's minds. B, because as the Buddha says, people will dislike you even if you are the sweetest, most kind person imaginable. There always will be somebody who doesn't like what you're doing, and people who like what you're doing, people will like your posts, even if they're the stupidest fucking posts. You know, look at my ham sandwich. I got a ham sandwich. Like, 33. Like, yay! I want a ham sandwich too. That's what Facebook was down there. So much for the search of getting other people to like you. It boils down to stupidity. Gandhi was shot. Dick Cheney gets new hearts. So much for there being any accountability in terms of the external world. The accountability comes from inside. That's where karma plays out. Worrying about our reputations at our jobs is another complete waste of time. A, you don't know again. Doesn't matter. If we could take all the time that we wasted worrying about this shit and spend 1/50th of it simply worrying about how to be virtuous rather than how to worry about how we get what's ours. In the long term, we feel much, much better about ourselves, much, much more at peace in our own skin. And as we look back and review our lives, we feel much more comfortable with the way we've lived. When I've done hospice work, I've never, ever heard one person say, I wish I worried more. I wish I worked harder, worried more, and was more concerned about what other people thought about me. Never heard that. You hear the opposite. So the key is to realize that these are traps that are keeping us from relaxing into our internal experience to rebalance the mind. These things that trap us into controlling what we cannot control, other people's opinions of us, how we compare with other beings. All this does is keep us from being at peace in our own minds and in our own hearts. So the key to all these is to let go of the resistance or the battle with life. And instead of constantly trying to change the world, bring our hearts back again and again into what's happening right now, to reflect on the skillful acts we've done, to reflect on the generosity we've brought other people, to reflect on the times we were virtuous rather than when we hurt someone, to reflect on the skillful things we've attained in life through our own hard work. To reflect on the fact that we're sitting in Dharma punks on a Tuesday when it's sweltering. To feel good about our practice, about all the things we do right now. That is to begin the journey back into our home, which is our heart, right now, where we can truly begin to relax the breath, relax the body, reacquaint ourselves with the feelings that we've been running away from, so that we can truly establish ease or pasadi right now in our lives. So I thank you for listening. Now I get to turn off this thing.